Good morning. I am so glad that you turned on to Pop-Tarts and Pajamas this morning. I want you to go ahead, if you can, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4, verse 47, and just we'll get to that a little bit later. We are going to continue our lessons today on the I Am's that we have been learning about in the Bible. Different times when Jesus said, I am something, because he wants us to know who he is. And we're going to learn about another one today. But first, I have a question for you. I want to ask you, do you know what a sign is? Okay, an S-I-G-N sign. I want you to think of one in your head. I always think of a common one, but think of a sign, and let's see if you're thinking about the same one I'm thinking of. Here is a common sign that I think of when I'm thinking about signs. What is this? It's a stop sign. Very good. Hopefully you pay attention when your parents are driving. Signs are important because they tell us something. This sign tells you to stop when you're driving. Other signs can maybe point to something besides themselves. I need your help. I have three different signs that I'm going to show you. I want you to shout out when you can tell what the sign is talking about. Okay? Here's a sign for you. What is that sign? Of course, we all know that. Even if you can't read, you probably know that that is a McDonald's sign. Maybe it makes you think of Happy Meals or French fries. Okay, here's another sign that's kind of funny, but sometimes you might need to know this sign. What is this sign? This is the bathroom sign, okay? When you need to find it, you need to know where it is. And more importantly, you need to know which one you're going into. Is this the girls' or the boys' bathroom? That's right. It's the girls' bathroom. You don't want to walk into the wrong one. So that's also an important sign. This is a different kind of sign. You may have to look real closely at this one to see what it is. What is this sign for? This is to a fun place called Disney World. Maybe you have been able to go there sometime. And that can be a very fun place to go to. You see, it has Minnie and Mickey Mouse on the sides there. In our lesson today, we're going to learn about a different kind of sign or a miracle that Jesus did. But first of all, let's go ahead and pray. So get your little nest made there and bow your head, close your eyes, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for today. We pray that you'd help us to settle down and pay close attention, Lord, to the Bible story today. Help us to learn from it today. Please give me the words you'd have me to say. We say this in your name, amen. Today, it starts off with kind of a sad part of our story. We just looked at a sign about Disney World. Now, maybe because of the virus, you couldn't go to Disney World this summer, but you probably got to do some fun things over the summer. Maybe you got to go to the park and play, or maybe you got to go to the pool, or maybe you just got to play outside with your brothers and sisters. But here in our story is a boy who was very sick, and he wasn't able to go out and play. He was so sick, he couldn't get out of bed. He had a fever, and he just felt awful. He could hardly eat. He just didn't feel like doing anything. And his father was getting very worried that he might not get better. And he was really wanting this sickness to go away forever. Well, you might ask yourself, why do we even have sicknesses? Why do we even have viruses? Was it supposed to be this way? Do you know when God made the world, he made it perfect. When he made Adam and Eve, they lived in a perfect place called the Garden of Eden. And there wasn't anything wrong. There wasn't any sickness. There wasn't any sadness. But Adam and Eve were given one rule to follow, and they broke that rule. And because of that, sin entered into the world, and it changed everything. Sin brings forth death and sickness. This is the beginning of a verse many times that we quote here at our church. It's Romans 6:23. Just the beginning of it says, "The wages of sin is death." Sin brings forth death. And that's how sickness got into the world. We'll talk more about this verse later on in our lesson. But back to our sad story of the boy who was very, very, very sick. So his father here is in the purple clothes. And he was a very, very important man. He was what the Bible calls a nobleman. He actually worked for the king, probably King Herod Antipas. He was a Roman king who was ruling Israel at the time. So even though this man had a very important position in the city, he wasn't able to help his son get better. His son was still very sick. The man probably tried everything. He probably took him to the best doctors, gave him the best vitamins at the time, the best foods, and nothing seemed to help. The man was getting very desperate. Well, the nobleman had heard about a man named Jesus who was doing some amazing things. And one day, he heard that Jesus had come into Galilee. Here in our map, I'll show you, this is the map of Israel at the time. And if you look in the big capital letters, at the top it says Galilee, and in the middle it says Samaria, and at the bottom it says Judea. Well, Jesus usually was down in Judea, but just recently in the story right before our story today was when Jesus went through Samaria, and he actually spoke to the woman at the well, and she came to know Jesus as her Savior, and the whole town did. It was really exciting. Well, Jesus had continued to go up north into the area of Galilee. He had already been there recently and did his very first miracle in the city of Cana. Well, what would you do if you were the man and you were really desperate and really sad that your son was so sick? Guess what? Yeah, the nobleman decided to go see if he could find Jesus. He was just getting very desperate. But this trip from the city that he lived in, if you look up there in Galilee at the very top, there is a city called Capernaum. It's right by the red arrow at the very top of the map. That's where the sick boy and the nobleman lived, in the city of Capernaum. Well, they had heard that Jesus was in the city of Cana. If you look down to the blue arrow, that's where the city of Cana was, and that's where Jesus was. So this man got the idea he was going to walk there and get there. Well, if you know about the geography of the land, the city of Capernaum was what they called below sea level. It was a very low-lying city. The city of Cana was well above sea level. So you know what that means? That means that man would have to walk uphill for 15 to 20 miles. That is a long ways. I want you to stand up with me, and we're going to walk. So here is our nobleman, and he starts walking on the way to Cana. Well, he had to walk all day long and uphill. We don't have too many hills here in Florida, but we just went on vacation, and we went up to the mountains, and we decided to go see some waterfalls. And this one particular one we went to was really high up, and it took us an hour and a half to walk uphill. We had to take many breaks because our heart rate, according to my phone, was 140. So we had to keep stopping and taking breaks. Well, we eventually made it to the waterfall, but the next day, poor Pastor Rick and I were very, very sore. But anyways, it is hard to walk uphill and even then to walk downhill. But this man was, you can sit down from walking if you're still walking. So this man had to walk all day long uphill. But finally, he got to the city of Cana and he asked around to see who Jesus was. And finally, someone told him. So the man was very probably a little bit anxious about talking to Jesus because he didn't know what he would say. So he goes up to the nobleman goes up to Jesus and asks him a question. I bet he got down on his knees and he begged. The Bible says he besought Jesus, and that means he begged Jesus. He was so scared that his son was going to die. He said, "Sir, please come down to my house and heal my son. He's about to die." That's what the nobleman said to Jesus. Let's read that part in the Bible. In John chapter 4, in verse 47, it says, just kind of what I just explained to you, see if it makes more sense now. When he heard, talking about the nobleman, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, okay, remember that on the map? He went unto him and besought him. That means he begged him that he would come down. Why was he saying come down? Because it was uphill. Come down to where they lived and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. That's what the nobleman said to Jesus. Now, how many of you think Jesus said, "Yes, I'll come"? Or maybe he said, "No, I'm too busy." But you know what? Jesus didn't say either of those two things. He said something kind of unusual. What happened was, while the nobleman went up to Jesus, a crowd started forming around, and they just wanted to see what Jesus was going to do. They were kind of just being nosy, okay? And so Jesus answered and said something different. Basically, he said this, because he was talking to the nobleman and also to the crowd all around, and he said, "Unless you all see signs and wonders, you're never going to believe." The Jewish people, many of them, just wanted to see Jesus' miracles. They really didn't want to get to know who Jesus was, and that made Jesus sad. Can Jesus do miracles? Does he have the power to do them? Sure he does. Jesus is God. He has all the power in the whole world. But this is important to know. Jesus didn't come down to the earth to do miracles and signs and wonders to impress people. Okay? He came down because he loves everyone. Now, many miracles he did was because he loved them and he wanted to meet the people's needs. But what he really wanted to do more than anything was to show them who he was so that they would believe in him as their Savior. Well, what does the Father say to what Jesus just said? Well, guess what? He probably got up real close to Jesus, looked right into his eyes, and said one more time, "Sir, come down before my child dies." So he asked the second time, okay? What do you think Jesus did? Well, once again, he answered in a way that the man wasn't expecting. So this is what he said. This is so important. You have to listen to this very carefully because this is important at the end of our lesson too. Jesus said to him, looked right in his eyes, and he says, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." So basically he says, "Go home, your son is okay." Wow, that wasn't the answer that the nobleman was expecting, but I believe a true peace came over this nobleman. And the best part is what the nobleman did. Let's look at verse 50. So that's what Jesus says, "Go home, your son lives." And the man, in verse 50, it says, Jesus said unto him, I have a red letter Bible, and it's in red because Jesus said this, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him and went his way. Isn't that cool? The man believed Jesus. And that's what God wants us to do when we hear his word in Sunday school or in church or you're reading the Bible. When we hear God's word, God wants us to believe it. He wants us to have faith in him. So here is our word up for the day. It says, I can put my faith in Jesus. Can you say that with me? I can put my faith in Jesus. That's what God wants us to do. So the man, the nobleman, believed Jesus and he started walking on home. Now this was probably the next day because remember it took him the whole day to get to Jesus. As he was walking along again, going downhill this time, he saw somebody in the distance and then he realized he recognized them. It was his servants. They were probably coming to tell him something. How many of you think they had good news to tell the nobleman? How many of you think they had bad news to tell the nobleman? Well, he gets up to the servants and guess what? They are smiling, and this is the coolest part. Guess what they said? The first words out of these servants' mouth is they said, "Your son liveth." The exact same words that Jesus said when he said, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." They come up and say, "Your son liveth." The man was so excited. Jesus had healed his son even though he was 15 or 20 miles away. Then the nobleman asked a question. He said, "When did he get better?" And this was a really neat part too. He says, they said, "He got better about the seventh hour yesterday." They have do times differently. But guess what? At that exact time, at the seventh hour, is when the nobleman heard Jesus say, "Thy son liveth." So the moment Jesus said that to the nobleman, his son was better. So they hurried on back. The nobleman saw his son. He was perfectly fine. He was healthy. He gives him a big hug, and they were so excited. And the nobleman continued to tell all the people in his house, the son, all the servants. It doesn't mention his wife, but probably his wife if she was still alive. So he told everybody in their house, and the best part is they all believed in Jesus. And that's exactly what God wants, especially when he did miracles. He did miracles so that people would believe in him. So really the greatest need this nobleman had and this boy had and all the people in the world have is to know Jesus as their Savior. And this miracle pointed them to knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. We talked about signs earlier that bring us somewhere, point us to something, and the Bible calls this miracle a sign, and it was to show these people that Jesus is God, that he is the Savior of the world. Can we say our word up one more time? I can put my faith in Jesus. Now, I just have to show you one more verse that's really cool. At the end of John, in John chapter 20, in verse 30 and 31, it says why all these miracles are in the Bible. And they're in there. Let's find out what the Bible says. In John 20, 30, and 31, it says, and many other signs, let me put it up here for you, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. Remember it says signs there, okay, which are not written in this book. But these, the miracle, including the miracle we just talked about today, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. But the miracles Jesus did was so that the people would believe back then and even for us today. I have never seen Jesus with my eyes, but these miracles are written there for me and for you as we study these lessons to know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, we can have life, eternal life. The verse that we talked about earlier in the lesson that had the bad news at the beginning, in Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death. The penalty or the price tag of sin is death. But it ends with the good news. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life, life in heaven with God forever, and having a relationship with him through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that is a really neat verse. So let's just review for a second what we learned about the last 4 weeks. We learned about some of the I Ams. And Jesus said these things because he wanted everybody to know who he was. Okay, Jesus said these things so we would know more about him. Jesus said, in one of our lessons we learned, he said, I am the good shepherd. Jesus loves us. Remember how he's holding that little sheep? We are the sheep, and Jesus is the shepherd, and he loves each one of us. He is gentle and caring and loving, and he loves you. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus also said, I am the light of the world. We learned a story about Bartimaeus, how Jesus gave him physical sight and also spiritual sight. But Jesus can take away spiritual blindness when people don't know who he is. Jesus wants to meet our needs. And another one is Jesus actually said, I am the bread of life. That was another lesson we had where Jesus is the only one that we need for life with God. He satisfies us. He meets our needs. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And last week, we learned about another one. It says, I am, Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. Okay, and that one, we learned that Jesus is the giver of all life and that he has the power over life and death. Remember how he raised Lazarus from the death? Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Now, our lesson today doesn't really have a direct I am verse to it, but I think that this verse goes along with our lesson. Our lesson was a sign or a wonder showing the nobleman and his household and all the people there that Jesus is the Savior. It pointed us, the sign pointed us back to Jesus Christ. And here is a time where Jesus said this. If you had that red letter Bible, this is written in red again because these are Jesus's words. And I love this verse because it's pretty clear what it says. Jesus said this to his disciples, I am, okay, it starts off with that again, it's one of the I Ams, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus told us so we would know who he is. And Jesus said he is the way. Jesus is the only way that we can have a relationship with God, the only way that we can go to heaven someday. Sometimes you might think of a maze. How many of you like to do mazes? I always think they're fun to do. Now, if you see this maze at the very bottom of it, there's a little red arrow with a question mark, and you have to find out what is the right way to get up to the castle at the top, okay? Well, there is only one way that's the right way, right? There's a lot of other ways, but they're dead ends. They're not the right way. Some people think, well, if I live a good life and I do right things and I try to obey my parents, I'll go to heaven because I'll be good enough. Well, that is a way that a lot of people think, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says our good works don't pay for our sins. Some people think it doesn't matter which God you believe in, as long as you believe in something, you know, and that is not a correct way either. Jesus said in that verse, I am the way. Jesus is the only way. He made it clear. Here's another sign. There is only one way, and Jesus said he is that way. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it makes it pretty clear at the end, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. And he wants us to have faith in him. And that's a decision each of us can make in our lifetime. I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was 19 years old. It was the first time I ever heard the gospel clearly, and I trusted Christ as my Savior. I put my faith and trust and dependence on Jesus as my Savior. Can you say our word up again with me? I can put my faith in Jesus. That's what God wants each of us to do, one time for salvation, but every day that we live our life, we can have faith or trust in Jesus. So let's just review. Let's just review one more time all the different I ams. So here they all are listed. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And today, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? So that's really exciting to know, and that God wants us to be able to put our faith and trust in Jesus as our Savior. I hope that you have done that. And that is the point of our lesson today. And I am so glad that each of you came out today. Let's bow our heads and we'll close in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that there's so many stories in the Bible, Lord, that are to show us who you really are, that you love us, that you're God, that you came down from heaven, lived a perfect life, and chose to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Lord, we're the ones that have done things wrong. We've sinned against you, but we can believe and put our trust in you, have faith in you, that you died on the cross, that you were buried, and that you rose again, that you're alive in heaven today. We thank you that you did that for us, Lord. We thank you that we can have a relationship with you. We just thank you for all that you've done, and we say this in your name. Amen.